Frank Frangie here. Hewn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can really count on Hewn. Call 398-8601, hewnflowers.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Thursday night, lots going on. One of those incredible nights to be a sports fan. That includes listening right here to your home of the Jaguars on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I am your host for the next couple of hours. Thrilled to be here on the cusp of a Game 5 in Houston. The wet rains expected to hit the eastern part of North America, that in New England tonight, and could carry all the way over to Raleigh, North Carolina, where we're less than 1 hour away from an ACC tilt tonight between North Carolina State in that snake pit, getting ready to take on the Orange of Syracuse. Yeah, great night, no doubt about it. College football, the NFL, and as always, a pivotal Game 5 in the world of Major League Baseball, where last night, we saw two Game 5s. A couple of roadies a winner on Wednesday. St. Louis got out to the early start with a 10 spot against Atlanta. And then cruising right along was Los Angeles. And we know how those fans are. They typically show up in the second and leave in the seventh. Some stuck around last night. Clayton Kershaw, for the first time in his postseason career, gave up back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches. Has never done that as a pitcher in his Hall of Fame career as a starter in the regular season. But did it last night. And how about the Washington Nationals? The year after losing Bryce Harper to free agency, they are now advancing to the NLCS. So we'll keep you updated on everything that's going on tonight. We're going to be very busy around here. This first hour is all about you, your opinion, your input, because in our second hour, we will take a look at the latest money with our good friend, the Philly Godfather. He will join us at 8 o'clock. Tim Brando tonight, late night. Typically, he's with us on Fridays, but the way his schedule is, he's going to join us late on this Thursday evening, and I think this may be the best weekend of the year in college football. So Timmy B and Rick Ballew, a lot of breakdown coming up a little bit later on tonight as far as the college game. Let's start with the big news. That's right here in Jacksonville with the Jags. Their final preparation, if you will, you know, more of a walkthrough on a Friday, or at least not as significant as the practices that you do see on Wednesday and Thursday. The Saints will come here on Saturday. But today, news. The heart-to-heart conversation that apparently Shad Khan has had recently with Jalen Ramsey. It appears all along that he may be the conduit towards a relationship with Jalen and his longstanding. Unfortunately, depending on how you look at this situation, I think there are numerous scenarios that still apply. And honestly, everything is on the table. You know, we don't typically see NFL stars get NFL coaches fired like we do in the NBA, although it happened a year ago with Mike McCarthy and certainly Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers is a tremendously talented quarterback, but he really comes across as kind of snooty and whiny and pouty and upper crusted, if you will. You know, a guy that's always going to blame someone else. And, you know, maybe this is the new norm. I mean, Antonio Brown got things really kind of rolling this year by forcing himself out for a third and a fifth, and Pittsburgh eating $20 million. And, you know, we've seen the downfall with players taking it upon themselves, even though contractually speaking, they're still with an organization, to force themselves out. I think everything is in play here for Jalen. I could see a long-term deal with him in the offseason, and everything remains as is. I could see a long-term deal in the offseason for Jalen and, I don't know, the retirement of Tom Coughlin, maybe even a coaching change if the team does disappoint. I'd be shocked by that right now, oh, by the way. I think Doug Marrone has done a magnificent job considering the circumstances around this football team, considering the distractions around this football team, going back to Telvin Smith, who again had a cryptic social media message just yesterday. Maybe I need to get with it. Are you aware, RJ, of any like new social media classes that I can take? Because I just don't understand the language that is used. I know maybe that's because I'm old school. I'm also educated, so that I don't think either one of those two things apply to what is being said nowadays on social media.
No, I don't think you need a class. You got the big three, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, but nobody really uses Facebook anymore. Rick, you're good.
I try to do things to show how cool I am. Like, instead of saying though, I'll just say TH0 or THO.
You know what I'm saying? TBH?
Yes, I do that. I do LOL.
You still do LOL?
Is that not cool anymore?
Who's still doing that? I want to know.
Ooh, all right. See, back where I come from, we used to actually write out laughing out loud.
Rick, please tell me you're joking.
That's why I'm asking you. You bring a little bit of a younger spirit to the program, a little bit of hip to the show, but I just thought that was kind of a cryptic message that went back and forth between Telvin and Jalen. Maybe it's stuff they learned at FSU. I don't know, but I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to understand. But, you know, ever since Telvin, then you had Unique and, you know, just everything that had gone on. Fournette shows up, says all the right things. Bolts for the remainder of voluntary minicamp, the Jalen situation. I mean, everything. I think Marrone's done a great job. Really, the only thing that I could pinpoint right now and say that has backfired for Doug Marrone is penalties on Sunday. That really pisses me off. And I know it drives him crazy. You can see it on his face. You can read it with his body language. You know, seeing him a couple of times a week as well as right after the game on Sunday, it clearly does bother him. But, listen, Gardner Minshew, what he's been able to do, come in and get done, has been extremely impressive. And, you know, I think some of the decisions they did make. I mean, for instance, look at Keenan McCardell. How easy would it have been for this organization last year to part ways with Keaton McCardell? They parted ways with their running back coach, Tyrone Wheatley. They parted ways with the offensive line coach, obviously, in Pat Flaherty. They made yet another change at the offensive coordinator job. It would have been very easily to say, all right, Keenan, wide receiver coach, this was an awful year. Let's make some changes. They didn't. You know what they figured out? Keenan McCardell is the best man for the job. He is the best guy to teach these very young wide receivers. And look at what we've seen so far in year two with DJ Chark. You'll never get a showing of hands right now. People won't admit it. And that's all part of fandom. But I cannot tell you how many people told me last year, especially during the offseason, that DJ Chark was a bust. Okay? The Caldwell haters, the Coughlin haters, it continued on. From Taven Bryan, it continued on. Taven Bryan sucks. He was a miss. DJ Chark sucks. He was a miss. Again, you're not going to get people to admit that now. And I understand that. I know the way that this thing works. I got it. But they showed a lot of faith. They made the right move there by keeping along Keenan McCardell. And look at the job that this wide receiver core has done from two different quarterbacks, two brand new quarterbacks. It's one thing to bring in Nick Foles and have him take every single rep with the first string offense. It's another thing to have him hurt 10 plays in and go to a guy who's been working with guys who are now on FedEx trucks and going back to school and trying to make something out of their lives. And that's what you got out of Gardner Minshew. So, again, I think everything's on the table. But Marrone's done a great job. Now, the flip side of that for Jalen would be that could include a trade. The most value you're going to get for Jalen Ramsey is not before the 29th day of October. You're not going to get it. if you can't solve these problems and you can't fix what's going on, your best plan is to trade him right before the NFL draft. That is where you capture your most value. You have plenty of time to talk to teams who are interested. You can see the draft order. You can see what teams do have to move. Right now, teams that are going to make moves are what? What are they? They're buyers. They're teams who have playoff expectations. We keep hearing about Baltimore. We keep hearing about Kansas City. You don't want to make a trade now with a team like Kansas City. Kansas City could win the Super Bowl. If they do, you're giving up Jalen Ramsey. You're selecting 32nd next year. No, you don't make the move. So anyway, heart-to-heart, Shad Khan, credit the Street. That is the source that had this story with Jalen Ramsey. Now, Josina Anderson says not so fast. Going to listen to his body was her quote from her source. Of course, she is with ESPN. So there still is a little bit of uncertainty right now with Jalen Ramsey. Who do you believe? Do you believe the owner of this organization, Shad Khan? Do you believe the source close to Josina Anderson? Or do you believe right now on a Thursday night, it could go either way? I think we're all expecting to hear from Doug Marrone tomorrow around 1:45 or so. And just like last Friday, Doug Marrone told us that Jalen Ramsey would not play and that Josh Oliver would not play. I said it last night, I'm going to stick with it tonight. I believe we'll know tomorrow at that time. But there's no reason why we have to be told that if they don't know. You still have the rest of Friday. You have Sunday. You have until 90 minutes before kickoff. You have until 11:30 on Sunday to decide whether or not Jalen should be active or not. So, again, it's a whole bunch of we just don't know at this point. Obviously, with Michael Thomas coming into town, the NFL's leading wide receiver, even if Jalen is less than 100%, you want him out there. Michael Thomas is going to eat. Even though Teddy Bridgewater has been overly conservative so far during his four starts with the Saints, he did throw for four touchdowns last week. But if you really look between the numbers, he hasn't thrown the ball like Minshew. He has not been throwing the deep ball at all. He's been dinking and dunking and getting away with taking what the defense will give you. And that's been fine. I mean, New Orleans has got out to some early leads, extended them, and in some cases have been able to hang on. And all they've done is win. And right now they're rolling. But again, I gave you the info last night. I don't think they're as good as the 4-1 record. I don't think anything supports that. The eye test doesn't support it. Certainly the numbers do not support it. They're not dominating like the other seven divisional leaders. I mean, it's a crying shame if you look at where they are. They have actually allowed one more point than they have scored so far this year compared to the other seven divisional leaders in pro football. That means something to me. And I think this fan base is going to be pumped up. And let me tell you something. That can mean a lot. It did in Denver. And it's kind of a reverse psychology here because I thought the crowd in Denver was phenomenal in a desperate situation, and the Jags won. I thought last week's crowd in Carolina sucked. I thought it was a NASCAR crowd. And it was a NASCAR crowd kind of sitting through a caution. They showed up late. They were in the luxury boxes. I mean, it's a basketball town. It's a NASCAR town. What does Carolina know about football, for crying out loud? I mean, it's football. What do they know about it? I thought it was a very subdued crowd. And the Jaguars lost there. So the crowd doesn't always mean everything. But nonetheless, I think this crowd here will be jam-packed and ready to go. And I think it can certainly mean something, particularly for this football team. And we'll see if they want that ball right out of the gate. Try to get some things rolling, keep the defense on the side. A lot of things to look at. All right, let me tell you this. I do want to hear from you right now on the Jalen situation, 641-1010. Also, Gardner Minshew minor growing injury. Come back, talk about that a little bit. Starting at 8 o'clock tonight, I'm jam-packed for the remainder of the show. So this first hour, good opportunity for you to get in on the Jags. 641-1010, the number, the 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. Same number, 641-1010. And, as always, on Twitter, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by Key. That's Key Buick, Key GMC. Right now, come test drive some of the best-selling crossovers in America. I'm talking about Buicks, where you can receive 0% up to 72 months on all 2018 and 19 Buicks. Also, they have 10,000 on all 2018 and 19 Buicks in stock. Comes with a lifetime powertrain warranty. What does that mean? You know, you buy a brand new Buick or a GMC from Key, the lifetime powertrain warranty is there for you. Make sure you ask for Steve. He's a big sports fan as well. Or visit the good folks at KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. Also, they have $99 Encores for lease right now. $99 a month is the lease special that they have right now for Encores. Imagine that. $99. I mean, out on the road, that's like half my dinner. You could be driving a car for $99 a month over a Key, the Key Encore from Buick, or the Buick Encore from Key, I should say. Check them out today. All right, let's get to some of these calls. Let's get right to it. We're busy tonight. The Philly Godfather at 8. Let's track money on the U in Virginia tomorrow night. Let's track money on Florida State going to Clemson. I never thought I would live to see my Noles be a 27-point dog. It's a freaking embarrassment. It really is. There's no way to disguise it. I mean, it's a freaking joke. Florida catching 13 at LSU. I mean, isn't Florida for real? 13 points? Boy, it's a large number. And the Philly Godfather's had it out now for a couple of days. He's told everyone that to play Jacksonville. To take Jacksonville over New Orleans. I've told you all week, I'm going with Jacksonville in this game. I think I'm 4-1 on my Jaguar picks. I had Carolina a week ago. Not proud of it. Not proud of picking the winning side. I'm a very humble guy. But I love the Jags over the Saints on Sunday. They're bouncing back with a W. Let's get it from the Philly Godfather. That's at 8. Right now, let's get it from you. 641-1010. John leads us off into the night with Rick Ballou. Welcome. Hello, John. Have we lost John? I don't know. We'll see if we can get him back on. Let's try Brandon, who is next up at 641-1010. How you doing, Brandon?
Hey, Rick. I love your show, man. Hey. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I have a really unpopular opinion, and I wonder your opinion on it. I actually am under the opinion, after thinking about it really hard, that Jalen, he's been a great professional so far. So he hasn't been in trouble with the league, no drugs. He hasn't been in trouble with the police. You know, he shows up training camp every year, ready to go, rocking and rolling. You know, he plays hard for his teammates. And even after he requested a trade, he went out against Tennessee and played really hard.
Right.
And one thing we know about Jalen is that he loves himself and he's about himself. And I think that if he gets on the field, he's going to play hard because mm-hmm. he wants to look good. And all that leads me to believe that is there any chance that his back's actually hurt? And
yes.
This is bad timing.
Yes.
He's been a professional. He said one bad thing in GQ, and that's why everybody, oh, Jalen's a bad boy. But if you really look at it, he's been a really great professional football player. Does everything the team asked him to do. I'll take your comments off the air.
Brandon, thank you. Absolutely, there's truth to that. And listen, I've been criticized quite a bit because it seems like I've been a major defender of Jalen throughout every move. I believed he was sick. I believed that his better half was going to have a baby. You had a local columnist here in town who wrote that he didn't even know or understand if Jalen's fiance was having a baby. I mean, how much of a freaking joke is that? And then the back. Now, I know the conspiracy theorists are out there, and they're going to say, well, he wants to get paid, and all of a sudden he's got a bad back, so he's not playing. I don't have the answer to that question. I don't know if anyone really has the answer to that question. Because my guess would be that when it's something as serious as a back, and you're doing tests to figure out the strength, or you're doing tests to figure out your pain tolerance, there's maybe a way that you could inflate that pain, you know, the oohs and the ahs and the expression. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I've had neck surgery. I have a bad back. I visit my buddy over here at Chinatree Chiropractic when I have a bad back. I feel tremendous after the fact. But there's been a whole lot of that because I think people perceive Jalen as a diva and a prima donna. And, you know, it's mostly the old school that comes out here that looks back to it when football was the ultimate team game. And the league has changed right in front of our eyes. I'm not saying I like it. I'm saying that you have to adapt with it. I mean, you're getting these types of problems everywhere. The one issue that I can't stand is when people say, well, you know, if I did it, I'd do it like Bill Belichick. You can't say that. There's only one guy who can do it like Bill Belichick, and that's Bill Belichick. No one else can do it that way. Today's players revolt. They just do. Go ask Michael Strahan how things changed in New York when Tom Coughlin was there. It didn't work with some. Ask Tiki Barber. It did with others. Ask Michael Strahan. The game has changed. The collective bargaining agreement, the National Football League Players Association, has grown and grown and grown and grown. Everything from voluntary to not having to participate, to not having two-a-days, to not hitting in practice, to being able to force yourself out of a city. Yeah, it stinks. And I know you can't relate because you have a contract or you work at a spot, and if you sign a deal, you live by that deal. Athletes are different. But on the flip side of these NFL players, their money is not guaranteed. Okay? It's guaranteed in Major League Baseball. It's guaranteed in the NBA. It is not guaranteed in the National Football League. So I can look at it from both sides, and I think it's a quality argument on both sides. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Jalen is hurt. I do. Now, I've had people call me an idiot for believing that, and I'm all right with it. Let's go to John next up at 641-1010. How you doing, John?
Hey, Rick. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to chime in on this potential brewing debate here when Nick Foles comes back. He's supposed to be healthy sometime mid-November, which brings him back with 5-6 games to play. You absolutely put him back in your lineup. Quarterbacks' careers are measured on Super Bowl victories, right? As Jim Kelly.
Yeah, right.
As Tom Brady. It's a mistake. It was a mistake when the Eagles did it. I think it would be a mistake if the Jaguars do it. You don't have a Super Bowl-winning quarterback riding your bench. That's a mistake. And it's nothing against Gardner Minshew. He's playing great. I'm a Jaguars fan. I want to keep winning. He's playing great. He's a great quarterback. We got a great draft pick. But still, as great as he's playing, even if he plays as good as he is now for the rest of the 4 or 5 games until Foles is ready, you absolutely put Foles back in there. That's just my opinion on that. And I just like to hear what you guys think about that. Thanks for the call, Rick.
All right. Thank you, John. John opens up a line now. A couple of open lines at 641-1010. I honestly think we'll have a real good idea as to what the plan is in the next month. I mean, you got 4 ball games now. You got the Saints here. You go to Cincy. You're home with the Jets, and then you go to London to take on the Houston Texans. If that question is being asked after the bye against Indianapolis, then to me that is a pleasant problem, and that is a best-case scenario. Because if it is being said, that means two things. Number one, Gardner Minshew is still playing some really good football, and number two, the Jaguars are winning games. All right? They're 2-3 right now. I think they're going to even up this record at 3-3. And I think they should be able to go to Cincy and win and knock off the New York Jets here. So that puts them at 5-3. I'm not going to make a prediction yet against the Houston Texans in London. There's way too many things that can take place there, particularly injuries on both sides. Well, let's just say for the conversation, this football team's 5-4. It becomes a very difficult dilemma for this football team. You cannot sit down an $88 million quarterback. However, can you sit down a sixth-round rookie who has changed the entire face of the organization? He has captivated this fan base and this locker room unlike anything I've ever seen before. They're down 21-7 to Carolina, and I'm on the sideline, and you look at the offense, they're oozing with confidence. I never saw that during the Blake Bortles era. I never saw that during the Chad Henne era. I'm seeing it now with Gardner Minshew in his fourth ever start. I also think Nick Foles has been a phenomenal teammate. And this will not be a problem either way. There are ways to avoid this immediately. For instance, you can keep Nick Foles on the injured reserve for an extra week, maybe two. I'm just saying here. I mean, that if what maybe he's not ready by November 17th. Maybe it's going to take an extra week. Maybe it's going to take a couple of extra weeks. I know that it would be nice to have him as your backup quarterback, even if you elect to go with Gardner Minshew. Folks, again, I'm going to look at it this way. I think that this is best case scenario. I think this is a pleasant problem. I mean, this is like some of you Clydesdales out there. Take R.J. Saunders, who walk into a bar and they have their choice between a blonde and a brunette. Okay? That's you.
That I have the choice?
Yes!
No, that's you!
No, crying out loud. I'm yesterday's news. My days of running and ripping are way, way beyond. But that's best case scenario. Don't get caught up in that yet. Trust me. Because I've been around for a little bit. And typically when you worry about things like this, the absolute worst thing can happen. Number one would be an injury. Number two, you start losing all these games. You know, so let's kind of ease our way in. And, you know, Doug Marrone on Monday was bothered by the low hits that Gardner Minshew has been taking. Minshew took one from Brian Burns in Carolina and looked back at the official. We asked Gardner Minshew yesterday if he believes at this point he hasn't earned those type of calls from the referees. I mean, if that was Tom Brady, absolutely that's a flag. If that was Drew Brees, there's no question that was a flag. Even in his third year, if that was Patrick Mahomes, that is a flag. But Gardner Minshew's not going to get that call yet. These calls are earned. So just kind of, you know, my advice to you would be to taper that right now. You know, concentrate on getting Jalen back and trying to win the game here Sunday against the Saints. And then just kind of play it week to week. How is the team doing offensively? Are they still scoring at the same clip they are right now? Gardner Minshew could very easily be 4-0. It's tough to sit down a guy who's 4-0. So that's my way of kind of skirting around a direct answer, because honestly, right now, I don't have one for you. I don't know how you can sit down an $88 million quarterback. But I also don't know how you can sit down a guy who's winning every time you throw him out there. The only problem is that the Jags aren't winning every time you throw him out there, and it's not his fault. It was the play-calling fault in Houston, and it was a defensive fault 4 days ago. All right, more coming up. Your phone call, 641-1010. The Philly Godfather at 8 o'clock. Tim Brando at 8:30. I'm Rick Ballew. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Houston getting after it early here against Tampa Bay. 4-1, the Stros. And, you know, maybe I should just give you the score without an opinion. That's pretty tough for me. Nothing against you Tampa fans, but I am pulling massively here for Houston. Only because I believe, they're the only team in baseball that I think can beat the Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees. I mean, this is literally one of those situations where I could care less who wins the World Series. I just don't want it to be the Yankees. So, Gerrit Cole won 20 games this year in the regular season. 4-1 Houston. They already knock out Glasnow. They did not. Glasnow in the first inning. My goodness. One inning, five hits, four runs. Getting just shelled. 4-1 early in that game. Let's grab a couple of these calls. 641-1010 with you tonight till 9. Remember, tomorrow on Friday, 5 to 7, it's our Football Friday show. So Frangie and company, 3 to 5. I'm with you tomorrow, 5 to 7. And then a stay-at-home weekend after being in Denver and Charlotte, then going to Cincinnati next weekend. It'll be nice to just kind of lounge around and watch everything that's happening in the world of sports. What a phenomenal weekend this is, both college and pro. Let's get to JD, who's next up. How you doing, JD?
Hey, how you doing, Baloo?
Hey.
Hey, man, your name good in the streets, man. We call you R&B.
I love that. I do. I appreciate that. How about RB3 during golf season, during the PGA Tour?
Hey,
sounds
hey,
like
hey,
I'm from the Silver
just
Spoon.
Just be happy we like your name.
Anyhow,
I want to talk. No disrespect, man. I love your show, man.
Yep.
But I want to talk about Minshew and Foles, man. Jaguars got a hell of a curveball coming. You know, if Minshew can continue to play the way he's playing. If he's playing at a high level, if he's playing at a high level. He's playing at a low level. He's playing at a low level. If he's just playing, Foles would be a nice curveball that this team will need. The boy's starting to take hits. Once you got a groin injury, you're getting the knee already banged on. He plays great, but the only way they're going to stop him is they're going to hit him, and you're going to keep getting hit because that line's a little leaky. So, and you're going to have to play score points because that defense, man, them linebackers look a little lost, and you got to get 56. A pass. He went up against all pro and got introduced to the NFL, man. But he's going to learn from that. He's going to be a great player.
Well, I think he's going to be very good as well. But, you know, that's the point that I'm glad you made, because when people start bringing up this scenario, I'm always like, well, let's calm down here, because, I mean, he has been hitting the knee in a couple of times, and now he's been placed on the he was placed on the injury report today with a sore groin. So, you know, this guy's taking a lot of hits.
He's got to make it through October. But you get to November, then you got a healthy Foles ready to do his thing. And that's something that no other team can say that they have. So, you know, be happy that you have this problem, man. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You hit the nail on the head, man. But go Jags, and my Gator's going to pull it off this weekend.
All right, JD, best of luck. We'll be talking about that game from a wagering point of view coming up here in about 15 minutes with the Philly Godfather. Nick Foles coming off the bench late in the season is like the best case scenario you could ever have. That's how this guy made his bones in Philadelphia, coming off the bench for Carson Wentz. And he appears to be a phenomenal teammate. Remember, you know, I'm the guy that was pounding the table here saying, do not get Nick Foles. Draft Dwayne Haskins. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. That was my opinion. This organization said, screw that. They want a veteran quarterback. Now, I'll also add this, and let's be crystal clear about it. There was no comparison, none, between Nick Foles and Gardner Minshew in the month of August. None. Not one iota. They weren't even in the same stratosphere on that practice field. I understand that Foles was working with the first team and Minshew was not. But if you were to look at things in camp, and I know that is not the, you know, the tell-all. Blaine Gabbert was a great practice player. But what Gardner Minshew has done, I mean, come on. This was not foreseen by anyone. I saw Jimmy Smith tweet something out a few weeks ago that he called this on draft day. I retweeted it from Jimmy. But, I talk with most of the colleagues out there, guys who do what I do, whether with this station or from other entities. There was a little, there wasn't even a given that he was going to make the team at one point. He was battling Magoo. He was better than Tana Lee, no doubt about that. But it's kind of amazing how these things get lost in it all. Again, I would like to avoid this conversation for the time being, because typically when you talk about great things like this, something happens where you know who your starting quarterback is for the obvious reasons. And typically that obvious reason is an injury. The 3525 says, in your opinion, does Shad have a major impact on Jalen playing or staying on this football team? Absolutely. No question about it. Shad Khan does not get involved in football decisions. He hires football people. But I think his growth as an owner now comes into play when you do such things as spend $88 million on a quarterback like Nick Foles. And I think it comes into play in a situation like this where you're talking about trading your best player. I really believe that. I haven't been told that from anyone, but I believe that Shad Khan is in conversations with David Caldwell and with Tom Coughlin about what the value is for Jalen. What can they get from him now? And if they feel like they can't get a deal done with him, what do they believe they'll be able to get from him, let's say, before the NFL draft in April? Yes, I do. Now, I don't think he's involved with 50 other players on this football team, but I do believe he's involved here in the Jalen situation. Jalen's that special of a player. All right, let's get, I was going to do today's update, or take of the night, brought to you by Villa. Unfortunately, I won't have an opportunity to get to the rest of these phone calls, at least right now, because I am going out to Philadelphia here in a minute to bring in the Philly Godfather, and as well, Tim Brando is going to join me in the 8 o'clock hour. But now let's do our my take, brought to you by Villa. It's Jacksonville's first and only home ownership company. Call them at 524-1165 or go to villa.com. I have this... And I get what I deserve. I'll be the first to admit it. I have this, I don't want to say love and hate, because hate's a strong word, but I have this push and give relationship with Florida State and the fan base. When I say things that a certain bunch out there don't agree with, they in return tee off on me. And I have had years and years and years and years and years to try to rectify this, to try to fix this, to try to eliminate this, but it's kind of my drug, okay? And I can't get away from it when the opportunity presents itself. Take today, for instance. Willie Taggart meeting the media. The same Willie Taggart who was a part of a Clemson loss last year in God's country by the score of 59-10. That's losing at home by 49 points. Well, today he was asked by the media, who is the kicker going to be Saturday at Clemson? Taggart's response was, while laughing, I don't know. Maybe I'll flip a coin, or depending on what the coin toss does, that will determine who my kicker is going to be. And the media, because you know how it is on college. It's not like you're in the NFL. I mean, look at the conversation we just had this hour about Jalen, about everything. In an NFL city, you can talk about things, and people don't take everything so personally. It's you're with the big boys now. On college, and that includes the media who cover them, you can't say anything the slightest bit controversial or against the grain, because if so, they'll
bottle up your media access on campus, not only at Florida State. I'm talking about all across the country. Anyway, a tweet came out. I responded to it by saying this. This is my tweet that you can read on Twitter, Baloo1010XL. I said, "Hey, Taggart, you are a 4-touchdown dog, which is a historic number for sucking at Florida State. You shouldn't be laughing at anything." That was my tweet. I feel that way. Florida State lost 59-10 last year to Clemson at home. They're a 27-point underdog on the road with zero chance to win at Clemson. Again, it's kind of my drug. I knew that the monsters would come out and come after me. I get a lot of, "You're a clown." I get a lot of, "You're a closet gator." I get a lot of, "You're not one of us." I get a lot of, "You're a curmudgeon. You're a miss." That's all fine. Everything is great. But the difference between the relationship that I have with a program that I love at Florida State and why I'm always overly emotional, because I think love and dislike relate to something that you care about all that much. People take it to like the most incredible extreme. Look at some of these things. "Baloo, you're a bad father." Okay? I mean, these are Florida State people. I never get stuff like this from people who call me out who are Jaguars. Going back to my days of despising New York and the New York Yankees, my tried to, hatred, if you will, or disagreement with Gators or Canes, never to this degree. Yet with FSU Twitter, that is what they do. I have never experienced anything like this. It's downright personal. I mean, it's one thing to call me fat and to say, I can handle all that. One thing to say I suck at my job, that's fine. But to say things such as, "Baloo, you're a bad father," shame on a lot of you Florida State people. Honestly, sometimes it's an embarrassment for me to say that I'm one of you. That's brought to you tonight by Villa. It is Jacksonville's first and only home ownership company.
1010 Take.
All right, there you go. Where customers could find a home, get a loan, close, and own a home all under one roof, one brand. By putting all three pieces under one roof, the buying, selling, escrow, mortgage, it helps makes home buying, selling process that much easier. That's why Villa is number one, and they are focused on that. Call them 524-1165 or go to villa.com. Coming up next, we go to Philadelphia. Let's bring in the Philly Godfather. Let's take a look at this freaking embarrassing line. Florida State, a 27-point underdog, and their coach is laughing about it. That sucks. That absolutely sucks. That pisses me off. And the folks are laughing about it. And these Florida State fans who are like, "I want a trophy, everyone deserves a trophy," are laughing along with it. They're a 27-point underdog. We'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at Miami, favored by a couple of points against Virginia. Florida, a 13-point dog at night in Baton Rouge. And, of course, right here on Sunday, the Jaguars host the Saints. We'll track the money and get the picks on all of those games next with the Philly Godfather joining Rick Baloo.
Let's go into the night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Rick Baloo with you till 9. Tim Brando joins me live at 8:30. Remember, tomorrow, our Friday football show, 5 to 7. We kick it off each and every Friday, so plenty planned as well tomorrow afternoon. Let's waste no time. What a Thursday night. Game 5, Major League Baseball, the American League Divisional Series. College football getting set to get underway in the ACC. And, of course, in about 25 minutes or so, we've got the National Football League tonight with the Patriots playing host to the Giants. Our good friend is the Philly Godfather. He's with Rick Baloo each and every week, and he is right now on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Philly Godfather, how are you?
Good, man. Just made a small wager on the Giants plus 17.5. They're expecting some major winds up there in New England, up to 30 miles per hour wind gusts. So, it's going to be a sloppy game, rainy game, and I think the dog has a chance of covering that big number.
What do you think now? I mean, typically when you have weather conditions like that, it means you're running the ball a whole heck of a lot, but New England seems to never do anything by the norm, and with Rex Burkhead being out, do you think they run it as much, or does this maybe favor Brady when it comes to him throwing the ball tonight?
It's going to be so hard to throw the ball. If the winds are as bad as they're saying, it's going to be really tough. They're going to have a lot of dink and dunk passes, 5-7 yards, of course. But going deep is going to be probably out of the question if you're looking at wind gusts up to 30 miles per hour. So then you got to look at the run game and the run defenses. And actually, mm-hmm. when I looked at the numbers, I was surprised to see the Giants are ranked higher than New England when it comes to their opponent rushing yards per game. So their defense has actually played better against the run than New England has. And when you look at New England's rushing game, they're only averaging right around 3.5 yards per rush attempt, which is in the basement of the NFL. I think it's ranked 28th. So I think the Giants can stay within the number here if the weather's as bad as they say it is.
Okay, how have things gone? How's your week been in baseball?
It's been back and forth. I lost my series bet on the Twins. I mean, the Yankees are just so unstoppable. We're hanging in there in baseball in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, Houston needs to win tonight to at least make it competitive. If not, it would be an avalanche here for the Yankees over the other three teams, correct?
Yeah, but surprisingly, I mean, the Nationals, they're playing some great baseball, and when you look at their metrics offensively, on base percentage, their pitching, their closers, their relievers, mm-hmm. they're going to be tough to beat.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, their rotation, they're very formidable. I mean, right now, maybe the best if you look at their 1-2-3. All right, let's get right after tomorrow night. I don't understand the numbers here with Miami, a small favorite, 1.5-2 over Virginia. Nikosi Perry now in. He played very well last week in a comfort-behind effort against Virginia Tech. What do you make out of this game tomorrow night in South Florida?
Well, I mean, the game opened up 1. It's up to 2.5. The sharp money took Virginia +3 on the bye. The totals dropped a bunch, so they're not expecting too many points. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be, I mean, someone's going to win this game by a field goal, but there's some real sharp money on Virginia at +3 and on the under 47 and 47.5. The game, I think it's painted 43 everywhere, offshore and in Vegas. So, as of right now, the sharp money's on Virginia. They didn't look too great, last week, but this week they come in probably a little undervalued. And in my opinion, they got a shot at winning the game outright.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I think that Virginia's going to win this game. I just think they're a better football team right now. Miami's a little bit beaten up, as we just mentioned. Their starting quarterback is out, and they're going to go with Nikosi Perry, who does have starting experience most of last year, as a matter of fact. LSU, one of the most difficult places in the nation to play, and all of a sudden, Philly Godfather, this is an LSU team that is different than the norm because with Joe Burrow, they're able to pass the football. Boy, did Florida ever shut down Auburn at home 1 week ago. How do you see this game Saturday night in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I mean, Florida's coming in here looking great last week, against Auburn, like you said. Might be a little overvalued in this spot against an LSU team that I bet to actually win the whole thing in the beginning of the year. I love the fact that they stole that coach from the Saints, and Burrows has looked great ever since. I mean, their offense is on fire. Their defense looks great. And to me, I mean, you look at the spread. It opened to 14, it's down to 13.5. I mean, after that big win from Florida, you would expect this line to be a lot shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And the books are begging you to take Florida here almost at 2 touchdowns. I'm going to wait to see it. Where this line matures, and I'm hoping to lay 13 on LSU by kickoff.
Really? So you don't think that number? I would think a lot of people would take Florida plus the 13. You don't think that number is going to drop a little bit less? Maybe go to 12.5 or 12 by kick?
I mean, if it does, I'm going to wait as long as possible. Like I said, I'm going to wait for the line to mature. But I'm going to be on LSU here. I mean, I looked at Florida's numbers last week. They surprised me against Auburn. They were beating up a bunch of bad teams. I think their combined record was 10-12 before they beat Auburn last week. And their metrics to me are a little skewed, and LSU is the real deal. They can play with all the big boys, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. And I just think they're the far superior team. And you know how hard it is to play in Death Valley, man. A couple mistakes by Florida, next thing you know, we could see a blowout.
Philly Godfather, our guest, joining us here with Rick Ballew. He does so each and every Thursday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. The other Death Valley, the side of Clemson, playing host to Florida State, and a lot of storylines in this game. First off, Clemson, you got to believe Philly Godfather is angry because they just barely hung on against UNC. They've had 14 days now to stew around after being dropped from 1-2 in the polls. So you got to imagine that they're ready to go out and play a football game.
Yeah, it's never good idea to play Clemson after a bad performance. The line opened up 26. It's up to 27. That line's going to keep climbing. I won't be surprised to see this line go as high as 30 by kickoff. Clemson's the right side here. I think they're going to smash Florida State. Florida State's in trouble here, especially the way Clemson looked last week. They're going to come in this week, and they're going to give it everything they got.
Florida State lost last year in Tallahassee 59-10. It's their biggest home loss in school history. Now, as you just pointed out, this is the biggest underdog that Florida State has ever been. They've been around for, you know, more than 50-some-odd years as a college football program, and this is their biggest underdog, and you think that that line is going to grow favoring Clemson by kick on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the money's going to keep coming in. Sharp money already took them. They laid 26. They're going to lay 27. The followers are coming in, and then the line's just going to keep moving. The line's just going to keep going higher and higher. I like Clemson here at anything under 28 points. I think they're going to be upset. I think they're going to be really, really upset. When you look at the bet splits, like I said, the books are begging to take, you know, Florida State. It's just a bad time to jump on them.
Yeah. And, you know, last year Willie Taggart came out and said that Florida State quit in this game. And again, Clemson and Dabo, they may need some style points. So even if they're up big in the second half, they may do their best to tack on another touchdown or two just to try to get themselves noticed and back up a little bit higher in the polls. All right, let's get to the game on Sunday right here in Jacksonville. The Saints visit the Jags. Earlier this week, you are all over this on Twitter. You've had your mind made up on this game for quite some time.
Yeah, I like the Jags here in this spot. Lined up with a 2.5, 2.5-point home favorites. The combined total is at 43.5. We immediately saw an influx of money attack the screen at some of the sharper offshore betting houses on the 4-1 Saints, which forced the odds makers to, you know, lower that number. But I think the Jags are the right side here. I talked to guys behind the counter offshore in Atlantic City and in Vegas, and they're all telling me the same thing. They're writing 4 tickets on the Saints for every 1 ticket on the Jags so far. So there's a ton of square money all over the Saints here. And again, the books are begging you to take a 4-1 team as an underdog in this spot. And I'm not buying. I'm selling on the Saints here. The reality is Jacksonville's offense efficiency numbers, they're much better than New Orleans. They rank higher in every metric that counts while playing the better opponent defenses. They're back home after 2 games on the road. They're the hungrier team. I think Jalen Ramsey's playing, right? He's supposed to play. I think I heard the coach say he's playing.
Well, Shad Khan, the owner, said that he believes he's going to play. I think we'll know much more tomorrow around 1:45 Eastern, but it, you know, could become as late as until 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday. We do not know for sure if he's going.
Yeah, well, I love him even more if he plays. It's a great spot for the Jags here to steal a win. The Saints are coming off a divisional game. Then they got to head out to play Chicago next week against arguably the best defense in football. I like the Jags here. I laid the money line. I think they're going to win the game outright.
I have money line play here for the Philly Godfather. I like Jacksonville as well. I've been 4-1 on my Jag picks this week. I did have Carolina last Sunday. I just thought that would be a tough place for them to play, but I like them here. I've always liked totals more than sides, Philly Godfather in the NFL. I really like the over in this game. Do you have an opinion there?
I haven't placed a wager on it yet, and I hate giving out an opinion on a game that I haven't researched well enough and actually put my money behind it, because every wager I give out on Twitter or at the website, I always, you know, I bet the games myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I haven't done anything with the total yet.
All right, well, how do the listeners here, North Florida, South Georgia, we know you're hard at work tonight and all throughout the weekend. How do the folks catch up with you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Philly Godfather, or you can go to thephillygodfather.com.
Philly Godfather, best of luck with your plays. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Thanks, man. Good luck, guys.
There he goes, the Philly Godfather, ladies and gentlemen. That was an early release for him playing Jacksonville. And you heard him say that, boy, he must have been on top of something early. He said it opened up at -2.5. Good Lord. I saw it at -1. I don't know where he got those numbers. But it doesn't matter to the Philly Godfather. He's playing Jacksonville moneyline. So he's picking Jacksonville outright to win this game Sunday. And I don't like giving anything away until we make our picks at about 6:15 tomorrow on Friday. But you recognized my tone a week ago. And, yeah, I'm a stickler with a lot of things. I could not get over last week that Carolina, if they are a playoff team, was going to begin their season 0-3 at home. That was my final determining factor as to why I picked the Panthers. This week, it's much more than that, and I went through it last night. As a matter of fact, I'll do that during news and notes. I'll make that part of it, brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. I'll go through this once again. I mentioned it briefly last night, but I'll make it part of news and notes coming up next. I'm going to give you the major reasons why, from a handicapping perspective, as to why I think the Jaguars win this game against New Orleans. All right, so that's coming up next. Then we'll do that, and then we'll hear from Tim Brando. He's joining us tonight at 8:30. We'll roll till 9 o'clock. I'm Rick Ballew. This is 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Love it. Really want to see Pantera. I just want to say respect. What did you say? Walk. What did you say? Who sent it to me today? One of our sales guys, Greg. I guess Metallica. Rockville. But it's down the road in Daytona. Gonna have to get me a hotel room. I gotta go to Rockville. Gotta see Metallica. That'll be a whole heck of a lot of fun. That's down the corner, though. I can't be thinking about concerts right now. We've got football. We got Tim Brando 13 minutes away right now, though. Let's get to news and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. Jacksonville's only law firm. As a matter of fact, it's the only law firm statewide. That's Joe Camerlengo and his outstanding firm, where if someone has been injured or even if it was fatal out on the road and it happened because of a truck, tractor trailer, RV, or a bus, make sure you are familiar with the name truckcrashlaw.com. Let's say it's your neighbor, all right, your friendly neighbor, and all of a sudden you hear that someone in their family has been seriously injured. Make sure they know about truckcrashlaw.com. Sensational people. They're the only folks where this is all they do. That's why they're so good at it. And they're based right here in Jacksonville. They're the only law firm like this statewide. It's called truckcrashlaw.com. All right, I told you I was going to give you some reasons why I believe Jacksonville wins this game on Sunday. And what I'm looking at, because listen, I don't gamble anymore. I know I sound like a broken record, but I do not. I have not been a bet in 8 years, and I have no itch, but I love it. I love the game. Okay? I mean, I still am totally enthralled with all the numbers. And there's a lot of different ways to look at playing games. The Philly Godfather, for instance, who just joined us, tells us all the time that he doesn't play teams, he plays numbers. And I love studying the numbers. And when I look at the Saints, they don't do anything particularly well. If you were to remove the 4-1 record and look at their numbers, they don't fit it. They're a better offensive team than a defensive team. Barely. All right? And I just look at this defense. And the offense on a Gardner Minshew and a running attack that has done much better in the second half than the first half is something that you can hang your hat on. Now, in front of a home crowd, I really do hope that that rushing attack can get things rolling against the Saints on Sunday. That is their best overall defensive statistic. They are 16th against the run. They allow 109 yards a game. Look at their numbers. They're 19th in total defense, 363.4 a game. They're 22nd in yards per play allowed at 5.96. They're 17th in points per game allowed, which, in my opinion, is always the most important statistic. All right, they allow 23.2. They're 19th in net passing yards allowed, 255. Well, let's backtrack. What did we hear all last week? What was the common conversation all last week? I'll tell you what it was. It sounded a little bit like this. Gardner Minshew is not going to be able to pass the football in Carolina against the top overall pass defense in the National Football League, number one in pass defense, also number one in sacks, and number one in quarterback hits. What did Gardner Minshew do? 26 of 44 for 374 yards and two touchdowns. Should have been a third because DJ Chark was in. Quarterback rating of 101.9. He tore up that freaking secondary. Now you're taking on a secondary that's 19th in passing yards allowed, and it's at home? Big, big, big lean to the Jaguars there. Only two interceptions out of this defense. 16 sacks, a formidable bunch there, tied for six in the NFL. Third down percentage, 38.7%. Very, very average. They don't rank in the top 12 in any defensive category outside of sacks. Reason why I say 12, eight divisional winners, four wild cards. You want to be in the top 12 if you think you're going to register as a playoff team. Offensively, they're not much better. Okay? The Jaguars, I think they're going to respond here. They gave up 285 yards on the ground. They've been getting destroyed by everyone all of a sudden. What happened? Gap integrity, gap fits. What changes are they going to make? Well, here comes New Orleans. They're 20th with the rush. Now, they got a home run hitter every time he touches it in Alvin Kamara, who, by the way, was a recent added member of the injury report today by New Orleans. Not yesterday, but today because of an ankle. He was limited today. We'll let you know what goes on with him tomorrow. Again, we're with you 5 to 7. On Friday. They're 20th in yards per game. Okay? They're 20th in rushing. They are 16th in passing. They do have a good third down percentage. They're 11th in the NFL in third down percentage. You know, you look at Teddy Bridgewater, he has really managed these games. He had four touchdowns a week ago. It was his best game as a member of the Saints, but he's taking what defenses do give him. I just don't like these numbers, and I think that they really do favor Jacksonville. Something else to take a look at before I continue on. Again, I mentioned this earlier in the week. You look at divisional leaders. I'm just going to read through divisional leaders for you and compare it to the Saints. The leader of the NFC South is New Orleans. They have scored 115 points in five games. They've allowed 116. Okay? That's minus one. Compare that to San Francisco, and I'll give you numbers for and against. 127 to 57. That's the Saints. Green Bay, 119 to 93. Philadelphia and Dallas, 141 to 111 and 131 to 90. You catch my drift here? Again, Saints, 115 to 116. AFC, tonight, the Patriots are playing, 155 to 34. That's what the Patriots have done in five games. Baltimore, 161 to 123. Houston, 131 to 110. And Kansas City, 148 to 113. Look at New Orleans, 115 to 116. How in the hell are they 4-1? The numbers don't support the record. Telling you, the Jaguars win here Sunday at 1 o'clock. Absolutely believe that. I do. Let me give you the very latest as far as the injury report, since we're talking about this big matchup here between New Orleans and Jacksonville. The Jaguars today, for a second consecutive day, Jalen Ramsey limited with the back. Okay, DJ Hayden with the foot limited again today. Yet another member of the secondary, the ankle for Ronnie Harrison, limited today. I do find that interesting because he was evaluated in the second half because of a neck injury. He was evaluated for the ankle in Denver, but he was being tested and was listed as questionable with a neck injury during the second half of that game against Carolina, yet he's on the injury report here only for the ankle. So that's good news. Josh Oliver, for a third consecutive week, limited Wednesday and Thursday. Will he finally go for the first time this weekend at home here against the Saints? Brandon Linder and Calais Campbell on the injury report simply because they did not work yesterday. It was non-injury related. As a matter of fact, Campbell was limited yesterday. Linder did not practice. Both worked out fully today. That's good news there on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Marquise Lee had an off day today, non-injury related. And the only guy that did not go today was Lorente McCray, who's had that oblique injury. It has kept him out for a couple of weeks. Limited yesterday, did not practice today. For the Saints, as you know, Drew Brees out with that right thumb. Tre'Quan Smith, a wide receiver with the ankle, did not practice on Wednesday or today. Trey Hendrickson, a defensive end with his neck injury, limited yesterday, didn't practice today. So it is a downgrade there for Trey Hendrickson. And as we mentioned, Alvin Kamara was not on the injury report on Wednesday. He was added to the injury report today, limited with the ankle. So there you go. That is the very latest in news and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. For the most part tonight, we just kept it around Jaguars injuries and maybe wanted to give you somewhat of a different look as to, you know, why I think the Jaguars are going to win. It wasn't a thorough examination, which I'm happy about because I've always enjoyed trends. I've always enjoyed, you know, certainly injuries. That didn't sound right. But when it comes to making an analysis on picking a game, I've also been one who always has believed that you got to go with the eye test and you got to go with the gut feeling. There seems like we're getting away from that now an awful lot. And when you talk with these professional handicappers, they'll tell you time and again and time and again that they're putting in so much homework and that they're studying the game. Yet mathematics get involved now. It's out of control. The sabermetrics, the analytics, every possible statistic that you can possibly imagine. It's too much math for me. It's too much information for me. And I haven't advanced with that since I haven't played. But the numbers that I just went over with you are certainly numbers that every gambler should use. Those are things that you really should look at. And I know the sample size is not enormous because we're only five games in, but you're getting to a point now where you can really get a pretty good feeling as to what's going on. Now, you could be tricked. I mean, for instance, if you're a Florida fan right now and you're going to LSU, how do you feel about your rushing attack? You were 11th in the SEC a week ago. You went up against Auburn that averaged 48 rushing attempts a game. 48. I'll have to look back on those numbers, but I guarantee you Auburn didn't come close to running it 48 times. If Auburn ran that game 48 times, they win. Any team runs it 48 times is going to win. Florida was 11th in the SEC in rushing, still averaging over 100 yards. I want to see you average like 130 a game because, you know, college numbers can change based on your opponents. But certainly that rushing attack really did favor Auburn over Florida going in. Then what happened? You had the big one by Piron that totally changes and skews your rushing stats. So now, and I don't have the numbers in front of me to see where they are now in the SEC and where Florida is now average rushing per game against the great LSU defense. But obviously those numbers now for Florida are better than they were a week ago. My point is, without doing your homework, without having knowledge, some hammerhead in Maine, you know, or Joe Sixpack out in Seattle may not know anything about the Gators. may not know anything about LSU and look at the numbers and form an opinion, and he may look at Florida rushing yards per game and say, I love Florida here. Matter of fact, I'll play Florida money line, or I'll eat up the Florida plus those 13 points because he's looking at rushing statistics per game, yet he doesn't know and understand that those numbers are totally changed based on one run, in this case by Piron. Make the same case with Fournette's two runs. Look at Fournette last week, 15 for 35 before he broke that long one for, what was it, 48 yards? So that's where the homework comes into play. But you knew that. Tim Brando knows that, and he joins us next. Let's talk some college football with Timmy B. He's with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, let's talk with Tim Brando. We love our conversations with Timmy B each and every week right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Where are you at, Timmy B? West Coast?
I just arrived in the desert of Tucson, Arizona.
Ooh.
We've got a little Pac-12 after dark. We will officially be the capper of your evening for all that love college football on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
The last game that kicked off.
Love it. I love late night Pac-12.
It may be crazy go nuts, and most people may be asleep, but you know what? By the second half, there's only one option for college football, and we'll be it. So it's Washington at Arizona. Arizona's, you know, in first place.
Right.
They're 4-1, and Khalil Tate's playing out of his mind. So Looks like we may have a good game. They actually have almost sold this thing out until it's so, we'll have a good crowd for Pac-12 after dark. And by that time, all of the big games that have been played in primetime will have finished. So that's the other good news. Spencer and my guys all in the booth, we'll have a chance to watch Notre Dame, SC, LSU, Florida, you know, Iowa, Penn State, all that. We'll be all over it.
So, yeah. Hopefully Khalil Tate is healthy. I know he's been nicked up at times this year. Hopefully he's able to go.
Yeah, he's fine. He's going to be good to go. From what I've told, I'll meet with him tomorrow. But the other kid that came in, the freshman, was outstanding when he had to play.
Right.
And you know, beat UCLA when Tate couldn't go. But Khalil is good to go. And you know, Colorado certainly couldn't handle him, and they beat them on the road. So their fan base is pretty pumped up. It looks like Arizona, the Arizona schools may dictate, you know, who wins the South.
Yeah.
And it's been about 5 years since Rich Rod was here, and they played against Mariota in the Pac-12 final and the championship in 14. It's been 5 years since that happened, but I remember Arizona State playing around Thanksgiving. I came in to do the game with Joel Klatt, and the winner of the game was going to play in the Pac-12 title game against Oregon. We may be staring at that again this year in the Pac-12.
What a weekend for college football. It is absolutely outstanding. You know, let's begin with the one in Baton Rouge here. Boy, LSU's playing some great football. Florida just keeps winning, and they keep doing it differently. I never thought they would do it with an explosive offense. And, you know, that's what they did at times last week, two real big long plays that led to touchdowns. Any chance for Florida going out on the road and winning on Saturday night?
You know, listen, Rick, I certainly didn't have the Auburn game right. And I know a lot of Florida fans are probably, Brando hates my team. No, it's not that I hate your team. It's just it's hard for me to see you scoring with LSU on the road. Now, you can make this argument, and many Florida fans have, LSU's not played a defense as good as theirs.
Right.
Okay, I'll admit to that. Texas's defense is not as good as Florida's. You'll be able to see that when they play in the Red River Shootout earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But Burrow and this LSU offense is just a different deal. I mean, a really different deal. Big-time receivers. The run game is, you may not know these guys, but they can run it. Burrow is, he's cutting it loose. I mean, just in a very big way. Now, I think, what is it, the number about 11 and a half, something like that?
It's actually up to like 13, yeah.
Is it up to 13
now? A lot of money on LSU, yeah.
Well, and that's the big-time bettors love LSU at home, especially at night. That's worth 6 or 7 points, generally speaking. I don't think they cover that number. I don't. I see Florida certainly playing within the spread.
Yeah.
So against the number, I would take the Gators. But I just don't see any way that they win the game. I believe LSU is just too good, too versatile offensively. And LSU's defense has been questioned by some, but their DBs are really good. And Trask is going to go up against some playmakers now on the other side of the ball. I think LSU's defense has been maligned, and I think they're ready to show off. And for this kid to be starting, you know, a road game at night in this kind of atmosphere with this much at stake, I think that's problematic. So I see LSU winning the game. I'll say by more than a touchdown, but less than the spread.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will point to that. What Joe Burrow has been able to do with that offense at LSU really give him a dimension that they haven't had there in quite some time. And then a kid like Kyle Trask, who hasn't started in seven years, yet he hasn't gotten caught up in any of these moments. At least so far, nothing looks too big for him when we discuss Kyle Trask.
I think the key to the game, though, to be honest with you, Rick, is going to be P. Ryan at running back. You know, the one thing, here's where Florida's got its chance. Trask needs the run game to go. P. Ryan had a big running play last week, something I think they really needed. It happened at the end of the game, made the game look more like a blowout than it really was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can carry that kind of confidence in your run game into LSU. If there's a problem with LSU, it's the lack of a big-time defensive front that makes you think that they can be dominant. I think LSU is potentially an elite team, but the one area where I think they lack being elite is in their front four.
Right.
I think that if you can get some chunks of yardage on the ground early, that set up your pass game, then Dan, I think, you know, Mullen is one of the best play callers out there. That's one of his great strengths as a coach. And if the ground game gets going, then they can keep the ball away from LSU and their dynamic, explosive play offense and control the game. And if their defense can make a few plays, say, you know, there's a pick, a Hargraves gets involved, something happens, and there's a, you know, a 14-point swing kind of thing, then the pressure shifts to LSU. And, you know, we've seen that happen on the Bayou before. So
no doubt, yeah.
I'm not going to rule out Florida's puncher's chance. They have that. But I think for them to do that, they're going to need more than 100 yards on the ground from somebody.
Tim Brando, our guest, he'll have the last game of the Saturday night for you, Pac-12 After Dark on Fox Sports. Fox Sports or Fox Sports 1?
It's FS1 this week.
FS1. Which I think I get on channel 219, maybe 220, 221.
On DirecTV.
Yeah, yes. One of those. I find it each and every week. Spencer with Spencer Tillman with Tim Brando and Coley Harvey. All right, you know, we haven't talked yet all year, Tim, really at all about Oklahoma. And, you know, here comes the Red River rivalry where once again Oklahoma's a double-digit favorite, but this seems to be the case about every year. And you know, in this rivalry, Texas always gives them their best.
They do, and I think I see a potential shootout like we had a year ago where Texas pulled it out, got a big lead. Oklahoma roared back with Kyler Murray, and then Texas Ellinger made some plays late for Texas to win the game. I want to say the score was in the mid-40s, like 45-42, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see a game very similar to that this year. The difference, I think, you know, there's some of the injuries on the defensive side for Texas. They really started happening during the LSU game and just after the LSU game. I mean, West Virginia, you know, posed a serious threat last week to them. So Texas and West Virginia is in a rebound year. I mean, that game, to be as close as it was, has to be somewhat concerning to Tom Herman.
Right.
Especially when you're trying to deal with somebody like Jalen Hurts at this stage right now, in my mind, for two reasons. One, His passing is so much better than it ever was at Alabama. Two, the offense allows his running capability to be highlighted. And then three, the third aspect, is he's quarterbacking with freedom, something he never had at Alabama. You know, a lot of fans, especially the SEC, are like, what's so different about quarterbacking in Oklahoma than Alabama? Well, the difference is, at Oklahoma, your coach is telling you, go out and win the game.
Right.
At Alabama, they're telling the quarterback, don't lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. Now, Tua Tagovailoa is different because he's so good in the RPO game. And those kinds of quarterbacks come along, you know, once every, you know, generation.
Right.
But Jalen was never given the green light that Tua was given. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, he wasn't until he got to Oklahoma. You know, I would love to tell you that Ellinger is capable of getting in a shootout and winning as he did a year ago. But we saw what happened with Burrow in that LSU game. I see the game being very similar to the game with LSU.
Really?
And yeah, I see the game being in the, you know, winner has to get to at least 40, maybe 45, and both defenses are going to get torched. Now, Oklahoma's defense is better than it has been. Alex Grinch, the new defensive coordinator, has his guys in better places to be successful. But they still haven't recruited. He needs another year or two of recruiting to the defensive side of the ball for them to be what I would call in the same category with an Ohio State, a Georgia, an Alabama.
Right.
So they're not there yet. They're just not.
No.
But that's why I see the game. The winner of this game will have to score 40-plus. And I like OU in a game very similar to the one Texas won last year. And I think the spread is, again, leaning more towards OU, is it not? 10, 11, somewhere
it's
in there?
10 and a half, it is. Yeah,
yeah, that's way
big
too
number.
Many. To me, that's way too many to me. I see the game being a field goal or a touchdown game.
All right, what about traditional blue bloods here? Any chance for an upset? USC at Notre Dame? I mean, A&M, Alabama? Anything?
No, not A&M, but USC's got a fighting shot. At Notre Dame, they're all, you know, USC, Rick, I'm gonna bring a Southeastern Conference analogy in, okay, with their fan base. It's a different crowd than Auburn's, but their reactions to what happens every week is very similar to Auburn's. Every week, Clay Helton, it's a referendum on his coaching career. Every week.
Right.
Just like Gus Malzahn. Mm-hmm. Malzahn was motoring along. He was undefeated. You know, 3.5-point favorite against Florida, goes in, loses the game. What have they been saying all week?
And it could only get worse for him with that schedule. Oh, my goodness, the schedule he's got ahead of him. Right.
But get rid of him. Gus will never get us there. You know, well, they're doing the same thing, albeit with, you know, maybe not the same gusto, but behind closed doors, smoke-filled rooms around Heritage Hall in L.A., it's like, how do we get rid of Clay Helton? I mean, there are some people at SC rooting for Notre Dame to win the game.
Yeah.
With those, I mean, they are. Some of them are rooting for Notre Dame. And when these things happen and the coach is well-liked, and I think Clay is really well-liked by his team, and that the quarterback is returning now, the one that got hurt, I think that there is a really good chance that they could pull the upset here at Notre Dame. I really do.
Wow. That's saying something.
Sort of a rally the troops. Coaches under fire again. I think sometimes at SC, in situations like this, it's better for them to get the hell out of Tinseltown, and you know where the conversation is out there. The soap opera is so great that sometimes getting in a plane and going a few time zones over to the heartland of America and playing at Touchdown Jesus can be the best thing to ever happen to them.
Tim.
So, that's my pick.
Yeah, we are out of time, but every week we do Brother Bino. Tomorrow would be 7 years that he left us. Tomorrow.
You know what? You know what? He passed away 7 years to the day, and I was on the air when I found out, and it's the only time I've ever cried on the air. I just, and you know what he'd be telling me right now? Branto, why would you pick SC?
for crying out loud. They've got the best. It's Notre Dame. They've always got the material. Plus, they're playing at home. And plus, Notre Dame's got a better home field than the Kremlin. Are you kidding me?
One of his great lines, because, of course, Florida State goes to Clemson. Do you remember his line in 88?
Oh, yeah, with Leroy Butler.
Right.
There goes Leroy Butler. There goes Leroy Butler all the way for the touchdown. There goes – it's about Ruski. It's Leroy. There goes Leroy. I'll never forget Gene Deckerhoff.
Uh-huh.
And Dino turns to me on the set, and he says, Brando, that was the greatest play since My Fair Lady.
That is perfect. The great Beano Cook. I know he meant a lot to you. I didn't know him personally, but he was enormous in the world of college football. Boy, I miss him.
He was one of the top 10 influences of my life.
No doubt. Place. Hey, 30 seconds left. Give us the weekly Fly in the Ointment Tim Brando pick, please.
All right. You've got your Sun Belt special. Ooh la la. Louisiana Lafayette taking on Arkansas State. Blake Anderson, heck of a story. You remember what happened when his wife passed away with a battle with breast cancer,
right.
Went to Georgia, everyone wore pink. Arkansas State in the Sun Belt against Ooh La La. I'm taking the Indians of Jonesboro. That's why the ointment game of the week.
Outstanding. Tim, have a great call. Late night, you, Spencer Tillman, Coley Harvey on Fox Sports 1. It's UW at Arizona, and we'll talk next week right here with Rick Ballew. Thank you.
Okay, Rick, all the best.
There he goes, Tim Brando on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Did someone say game day? Here at Moe's, we've got your back so you don't have to miss a single play. Order your tailgate catering online at moescateringfl.com.
I'm going to date you now. In 88, I was a sophomore, and it was my first trip ever to Clemson. I know you went later and scored a touchdown there, correct?
Yeah.
Was it at home or was it in Clemson?
I scored two at home. No, I scored one in Clemson and one at home.
88 was the rain. Everyone remembers the Leroy Butler punt. Ruski just heard Tim Brando do his Beano Cook, My Fair Lady. But
when did Deion call a shot?
That was in the second half of that game, too.
Wow.
That punt return.
Like, everybody talks about the punt Ruski, man, but...
Deion's punt return.
I'm not the hugest fan of Deion, but I
bro,
can't...
Bro, I was in, like, the 98th row, the top of Death Valley.
Anybody who says that they, like, that doesn't do it for them, like, that, they're crazy, man. They threw a cup at him. Like, it was a full...
Man.
The guy had a full thing of Sprite, so that probably cost, you know, $2 then, but now, you know, inflation, that's a $8 cup of soda that person just threw right at Deion's head.
Because in 88... The Noles went there and won, and then in 89 was, I think that ended up being their best team, but that was the year that Florida State opened up and lost here to Brett Favre in Southern Miss, mm-hmm. and then a week later, Terry Allen and Clemson came into Florida State and beat FSU. They didn't face Clemson again until 92, their first year in the ACC. That's when I went back to Clemson for a second time. That's when they benched Charlie Ward, went to Danny Cannell, went back to Charlie Ward, hit Kevin Knox late in the fourth quarter to pull off the upset there again. Ripped the hearts out of Clemson back in 92.
There's some good Twitter back and forth with me and fans. I joke sometimes. They're like, you know, what was your favorite Clemson moment? I was like, I'll start with mine, the one I scored a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
So, people were like, right. That's not the greatest. I said, it's subjective. My greatest Clemson moment was when I jumped into the end zone. But I can understand a lot of the other things and – You got to listen to one day. I get a chance to interview Charlie a lot and talk to him. Like, when you get him talking, he's a really good interview. But listening to him talk about going, like, the interception games, and it's a lot of perspective, man, about the guy who's probably one of the greatest college football players ever who faced some adversity. But I love it. I still will never believe it's a rivalry. It's a good game. Maybe 30 years from now it might be considered one. But it's still one of the great, the better matchups. Unfortunately, as of late, it hasn't been very competitive.
No, it hasn't been very competitive, and boy, I just really think that Florida State's getting them at the wrong time, because NC, you know, had them on the brink, and when you have 14 days to think about how you almost lost that game, that's going to be a tough out for Florida State.
I mean, it just all depends. One day, I mean, FSU could be 5-0. They could be 0-5. If these guys wake up, it could be a good game, but I doubt it. I think this their defense and Their D coordinator is one of the best in the game, and it's going to be very difficult, whether it's Hornibrook or Blackman. Both have their strengths. Both have their weaknesses. But this is why you play the game. You got to go out and got to compete. If you can't lay down, they tried that last year. It didn't work very well for us.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I told them, if you quit, they will put 60 on you, and I encourage it.
Yeah. And that was a, what, 59-10 game 1 year ago. All right, what's coming up?
We're going to talk a little bit of college. You know, obviously, Jags. We got to get some heavy Jags talk. This is our last time. But anytime we get on Thursdays, we're trying to make it consistent. We're going to have a – I guess he can't really be called a guest anymore. He's pretty much made it a home here. Mincy's coming in.
Yeah.
We'll probably,
I enjoy him on the
we'll
air.
We'll probably talk some stories. And the best thing about Mincy is – I guess he's got his money, and he really just does not care, which is great. I mean, that always makes for good radio. So hopefully we offend people. Hopefully people stay up and watch us and, I mean, listen to us, and we'll keep it going.
You got a lot to track tonight, too. You got the Pats, Giants. You got NC State, Syracuse. And, of course, you got Game 5 here. The winner moves on to face the Yankees in the divisional round.
The only thing I don't understand about Syracuse is their coach. Like, at some point, you just got to be like, you know what? Hair isn't my thing. You just got to let it go. You can't just keep dying that thing in there, man. Like,
yeah,
we know that's not your hairline. You know, like, just let it go, baby.
All right, James Coleman coming up right now. I'm with Denny Thompson. You heard Mincy is going to be around here. And, of course, JJ. So all of that good stuff coming up right now. Remember, we'll be with you tomorrow beginning at 5 o'clock. We do it from 5 to 7 on Friday. Thank you to Tim Brando for joining us a moment ago, as well as the Philly Godfather. For producer RJ Saunders, again tomorrow from 5 until 7. I'm Rick Ballew. I'll talk to you then on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.